Hello, this is Peter Bell. I'm here with Don Lay, CEO of Medallion Resources. Hello, Don.
Hey, Peter.
It is July 28th. The market's just closed. I saw you had a rollback today, I believe.
Yeah, we announced a rollback a few weeks ago on our stock in conjunction with a private placement offering, and today was the effective day of the share consolidation. So it was one new share for every old four shares, and leaves us with about 21 million shares outstanding at this point in time.
Mm-hmm. So, 21 million shares trading 13, 14 cents here. Wow, $3 million market cap for you guys.
Yeah, it's sort of a number we've been around for a while. The stock on a has been the equivalent of, I guess, 8 through 28 cents over the last 52 weeks in terms of trading range on a post-consolidated basis. So yeah, we've kind of been bouncing around this capitalization for a while, and with the financing, we got the opportunity to do a share consolidation and make the pricing a little more attractive to, you know, investors that are, you know, aren't looking for sub 10 cent stock. So yeah, that's why we kind of decided it was the right thing to do at this time.
Well, after spending some time here talking with you about everything, and looking at some of the industry comparables, a little mind-boggling to see you trading down here at a $3 million valuation. I would suspect a lot of people don't know about you or don't know quite what you're up to. That's okay. I'm sure it'll come in time.
Yeah, well, we've been toiling away, if you will, over the last few years, moving forward on our monazite processing strategy. And, you know, the rare earth marketplaces, most people that pay attention to the junior world know, was really sort of beat up from sort of 2013, 14 onwards. So we've been through a 3 or 4 year bear market in terms of rare earth pricing and also interest in the junior mining area for rare earths. And, you know, there's a list of survivors, of which we're one. And most of the other survivors, of course, are hard rock mining projects, Australian companies and Canadian companies for the most part, who are looking to, you know, finish their metallurgical work, their feasibility study, and then go out and raise capital for funding to get into production. We've got a very different approach. Our business model is more of executing a byproduct processing strategy. So we're looking to buy monazite, which is a rare earth phosphate mineral that you can acquire from another mining industry as a waste, and then process that and extract the rare earths and market those. So it's low technical risk and well understood, because the metallurgy is well understood, and low capex and a relatively low operating expenses as well. So we think we're really well positioned here to make some big moves in this industry.
And it is an industry that needs it.
Yeah, Peter, it's interesting. There's a very recently, I just shared with you today, I think a report from UBS that was published in May.
Yeah, the first line here: one electric car teardown, six pivotal questions, 39 UBS analysts providing answers. Oh God.
Yeah, so the UBS, I mean, I was really impressed and blown away by what they did. So they, you know, they're a big international banking group, as you know, and they've got analysts all over the world, and they cover large companies, large cap companies for the most part, in a wide variety of industries. So they've got a group there that buys products and then tears them down to figure out what's going into them. And then based on the information that they glean from that, then they determine how does that impact the different sectors and subsectors they cover globally, and then also how does it impact the specific companies they cover. And then they do that by using the, whatever, 28 analysts all over the world. And yeah, I gotta tell you, it's an impressive piece of work.
Yeah.
And so
they literally pulled apart one of these new Chevy Bolt, is it?
Yeah.
Chevy Bolt, one of the first mass market electric vehicles, been in development for 5 years, and it's hitting the market now. they've got one of the hands on one of these things, and they pulled it apart. Every battery, every motor, every brake.
Yeah. Well, and I guess not surprisingly, like, you know, General Motors doesn't share their list of suppliers and their list of parts and where they come from and how much they cost.
Yeah, the costing information on them. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you want to figure it out, you got to tear it apart and have access to lots of intelligence, which these guys do. And one of the outcomes was they, as it impacts my industry, is, you know, there's a kilo of neodymium, the rare earth material, approximately, that goes into each rare earth, each electric motor, drivetrain motor inside these vehicles. So for their views on how the volume ramp's going to happen in the electric vehicle market, they then ascribed certain impacts to the rare earth business, which is the amount of magnet material or NdPr that's required at 10 years out is about 600% more than is being produced today. So the impacts are enormous.
And the amounts that are being produced today are not de minimis. They're not insignificant. Is it $1 billion worth of NdPr approximately that's in consumption at right now?
Yeah, I think annually? I think in magnet materials it's just over $1 billion. Magnet material, rare earth material, that's neodymium, praseodymium, dysprosium, and terbium. And neodymium is the majority of that. And they're predicting it's basically going to quadruple over the next 10 years. So, and that's just based on the impact of the electric vehicle numbers that they've come out with. And interestingly, they've upped their number projections in part based on this Bolt teardown, because the costs, the bill of materials cost for the Bolt is lower than they thought it was going to be, given their earlier analysis. So they've changed their impression on when the crossover point of cost, total cost changes from, I think, 2030 to 2025 or something like that, and hence the market's going to expand more quickly than they originally had estimated.
Yeah.
So it feels like there's some wind at our back now in the marketplace.
Yeah. Well, and it helps that the NdPr is a really quite small cost of one of these electric vehicles at the end of the day, right?
Yeah, the NdPr oxide, which is the, you know, the traded commodity, if you will, is about probably $45 or $50 a kilo U.S. right now.
Right, and you had said a kilo approximately into each vehicle.
Yeah, that's right.
And these are vehicles that are selling for $50,000.
Yeah.
So $50 into NdPr specifically, and that is an essential material, as I understand it, that cannot be really replaced with anything else.
Well,
than maybe some other lanthanide, sweet as that.
Yeah, no, you need rare earths because of the powerful magnets. There's no way around that. So, I mean, I'm not saying eventually there won't be other magnet materials, but, you know, they don't come along every decade even.
And the analogies from there to uranium are very interesting, with, you know, uranium being a relatively small cost component of a nuclear power plant, but once again, an essential part.
Right.
And so the pricing elasticity that starts to come in there with, or inelasticity.
Yeah.
And the fact that if there's any demand growth around consumer electric vehicles globally, which seems to be a consensus estimate that there will be substantial growth there, you know, the potential impacts on the demand side for these magnet materials is a little hard to wrap your head, hard for me to wrap my head around how big it could be. And even more shocking when you consider the lack of a real supply profile.
Yeah, there's it's what's really, really I think should be concerning to people in the supply curve that are looking for the material is where is it going to come from? You know, there was a big rare earth boom, as we've talked about. Prices went up, prices went down. The prices are well above their old average prices, but well below the boom prices. But the responses a lot of juniors have given up. Molycorp went out of business, and many there's just no new production slated to come on anytime soon.
Mm-hmm.
So
But there have been green shoots. We had a conversation just a short week ago here. I think we were talking a little bit about Linus and their quarterly call, first quarter of positive cash flow, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, Amanda Lacaze, the MD at Linus, put out had a call, and then she was very buoyant about NdPr pricing and the volumes they could sell into the magnet market and the potential growth of that marketplace. So that was really clearly the driving force behind their recent success, and that meant that there was going to be significant growth in that space. She projected that, based on analyst reports that she's read and I've read as well, that you know, 10 years out, they're going to need a new Linus every year to keep up with the projected demand and increases in the electric vehicle market. So,
which is stunning, because coming out of that last bull run, or the first bull run, which maybe it was in the rare earth space, Linus is the sole survivor that made it into production and is close to profitability in some way here 10 years later.
Yeah, Linus and Molycorp were two companies that in a sense had obvious pathways to get from a project. Project plus money gets you to production. And they both made it there, you know, with $1 billion plus investments to production. Molycorp has since gone bankrupt, and Linus has now turned the corner and is becoming successful, supplying to the Japanese market, the Chinese marketplace, and others marketplace. But it's really that NdPr, neodymium, praseodymium product they sell to the magnet business that's really clearly got the wind at their back. So yeah, they're very, very pleased with that.
Well, and
but the rest of the junior hard rock explorers really have got a long ways to go before they're even ready to add money to get to production.
Yeah.
There's a couple that might be ready, but even so, you know, getting to production's a 5-year plus operation.
Yeah, and where will the demand be in 5 years?
God. Yeah. So, anyways, it's interesting times.
There's a China Northern company that I've heard some talk of as well, that I think a $10 billion valuation or something like this, and I've seen a stock chart of it, and wow, the last month, it would seem there's a pulse in, and that's on the Shanghai market where that is listed, and the trading volumes are up very significantly. Word seems to be getting out there's something happening in the rare earth space globally.
Yeah, so China Northern Rare Earths is the biggest rare earth producer in the world, and they're also, because of that in part, they're the huge producer of NdPr. They consume most of it themselves within their own internal operations, because they've got other parts of the magnet value chain as well. So that would be you know, oxides to metal making to alloys, and maybe even to finished magnet material. But either way, they consume most of it. Linus would be the number two producer of that material globally. Their stock price is up smartly just the last month. In fact, you and I were looking at it, it's up 70% this month. And for a multi-billion dollar cap company, that's an enormous change. So somebody knows something. And certainly, you know, even listening to Amanda's interview, that it's clear, you know, the prices in NdPr have moved from the mid-30s to the high 40s just in the last 2-3 months. So, and if that's the biggest part of your revenue mix, you're going to feel that. So,
and all of that contrasts so much with your plans at Medallion.
Well, you know, we've got a business model that allows us to get to production relatively quickly. And we've virtually got the same rare earth distribution as Linus has got. So lots of NdPr, as well as some other magnet materials.
From your source material, yeah.
And the terbium. So, yeah, it's a good opportunity. So we're very excited at this point.
Well, all the best continuing to execute on that plan, Don. Anything, maybe mention if people are listening, they want to get in touch with you, best way to do so.
I'm happy to speak to shareholders and other interested parties on the phone at 604-681-9558 or by email info@medallionresources.com. We'll end up into my inbox and happy to respond to you.
Yep, you run a pretty tight ship around here, so if most inquiries come to you directly. And on Twitter, too, I've been interacting with you there, at MDL. Res, R-E-S. Good to see you on there, and it's amazing to have followed you here for even, it's coming on a year, I think, where I've been, and the few times where I've been able to come over and visit you in the office here and spend some time chatting with you and talking about everything, I really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Well, happy to give you the time, Peter, and thanks for taking these recordings and getting them out to the wider world.
Great, pleasure. Goodbye.